You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, founder and chief automation officer of Automation Bridge, the place online for you to learn about small business marketing and sales automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. We have a link for you to find out more about that and all of the resources always available for every podcast episode at allsystemsgopodcast.com. Do me a favor, make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. We're in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. We are there. While you're at it, leave a 5-star rating and review to help let the world know just how amazing this podcast is. But furthermore, to help the small business entrepreneur, small business owner and entrepreneur navigate the space of automation more efficiently. This episode, my guest is Dan McGaw, and Dan is an award-winning entrepreneur. He's a serial entrepreneur, a speaker, and the CEO of McGaw.io, an analytics and marketing technology consultancy and SaaS platform, UTM.io. So he's a CEO of both of those. And in addition, somehow he also finds time to be a 500 startups mentor. And he previously started the first business accelerator in Orlando. Okay. He's a thought leader in the MarTech world, and he is a CXL. This is conversion experience. Instructor on the topic. And having spoken at the leading marketing conferences and online events, including Traction Conference and Forget the Funnel, his expertise, and you'll see in this episode, it really lies in helping businesses extract and interpret the right data to grow their revenue exponentially. So we had a great time talking about the importance of the tools that you select and the data that they provide. So enjoy this episode with Dan and I. Dan, welcome to the podcast, man. Glad to have you on. How you doing?
Dude, I'm living the dream. Thanks for having me. I'm having so much fun today.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to recording this one because we got a chance to chat in the beginning on how we kind of made it back full circle and right? Met each other. Because I remember connecting with you and maybe at the time, Dan, maybe you didn't have two companies at the time. Maybe it was just,
no, I had both. Okay. I just wasn't talking about one of them at the time. So,
keeping it close. So when your agent reached out to me for the podcast, said, man, that name sounds familiar. So we figured it all out. Glad to reconnect with you, man. Let our listeners know, give them a little bit about your background and the businesses that you run.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first, thanks so much for having me here. It's super fun to be here. So I appreciate you taking the time. And, I'm Dan McGaw. I'm the CEO founder of McGaw.io, and as well as another company called UTM.io. But I'm a serial entrepreneur. So, I mean, I started my first company when I was 13 years old, and I haven't stopped doing it since. I've had a couple in-house roles. So I was head of marketing at Kissmetrics before starting these companies. Before that, I was head of growth and first employee at a company called CodeSchool.com. So I definitely have been around through a lot of different companies, but my real specialty is in the marketing technology space, marketing analytics. I work with a lot of CIOs, CEOs, CMOs, and stuff like that on helping them build world-class tech stacks and as well as getting their campaign tracking in order for their marketing analytics.
Yes. Great. And, we were just, I won't share too many details, but we were talking about, listeners, everybody, we were talking about how, Dan and I historically could make as good employees, and there's certain criteria that's in place and you get the most out of us as an employee. I know for myself, I'm a very loyal and structure and compliant individual. And anytime that, I'm in an environment where that's conducive, you get the most out of me, you know, but yeah, there are a few elements that you got to watch out for. Things could take a quick turn. So, Dan, you've got two companies that you've been an entrepreneur since you were 13. Okay.
Yeah. You've, going on 24 years.
Oh my goodness. You've been in the space, in the tech space for at least a decade, right?
Tell me. No, 20 years. Yeah. 24 years I've been in the tech space. So it's been fun.
Since you were younger, you've been in the tech space.
My first company was an online booking agency. So it's just like, if you've ever seen the documentary Fire, yep, right? I'm that guy, but not a fraud. But back in 98, right? Yeah. So I started one of the first online booking agencies for EDM music, right? So that was what I did. I made money on the internet from the time I was 13 on.
Man, that's great. So you've seen many versions of the internet. And you've seen many versions of business online. And I just, you know, I want to touch on it briefly, because what I really want to do is hone in on helping people identify how to navigate the MarTech space when it comes to selecting the right technology stack. Right. And for somebody like yourself that has seen so many versions of software, so many different ways people use it, what would you say? Because now, I mean, we go back 20 years, man, maybe 10 tools would be like absolutely mind blowing. Like, wow, you're using that much software in your business. And now it's just like some people have 10 different landing page tools. It's just like, wow. Right. So going to the market has never been easier than what it is now. What have you seen? What have you seen? Let me not say what have you seen, but what has served you well, Dan, as you have matured in your marketing to not just focus on the product, but how to get it in front of as many customers as possible, you know, at scale?
Yeah, you know, I think the most interesting thing when we think about marketing technology, and we see a lot of it, right? Like, our job at Magal.io is to choose tools, integrate tools, and operate them for businesses. So we build like big marketing tech stacks and also build small ones, right? So we get to see a wide cusp of everything from enterprise to startups, right? So, you know, the biggest thing about your stack and like the tools that are going to really help you grow is you have to pick a tool based upon the size of the business that you are and what you're going to be capable of using. Because naturally, if you can use the tool and actually take advantage of it, naturally, you're going to pay for something and get value out of it. And I think that's the common thing that we see companies kind of mishap on, is they maybe are not extremely technical, but then they buy the most fancy artificial intelligence tool there is, but they can't use it because they really don't have the ability to technology-wise to set up an artificial intelligence tool. So you really have to kind of like focus on the things that you can use, you can adopt. And I think that's a common mismatch. People get like caught up in the hype. Right. And these salespeople out there nowadays have been equipped with the Challenger customer sale, the Challenger sale model, and all of these different sales tactics to just manipulate and lure you into this corner to make you sign a check. And a lot of times you buy tools that you can't effectively use. And the big thing that we always try to teach companies, if you're really trying to scale your business, and you're really trying to do a bunch of different things, you have to use tools that you can obviously use. However, most of the time, you don't want to use the most innovative thing that's on the market. You want to be an early majority, but you do not want to be the innovator on the bleeding edge of trying to use every new tool, because it gets really expensive. There's issues that slow you down. Things become blockers. And it just kind of like slows you down in the big picture if you don't have this giant team to manage it for you. So we typically tell people, start simple, start small, use things that you can actually take advantage of. Don't try to be on the bleeding edge. Like, I still don't use Webflow. I know a ton of people who use Webflow.
Yeah,
I still use WordPress. It's cheap, gets a job done. I can hire plenty of people that can handle it. I don't have to worry about a lot of problems because everybody knows how to use it. And I make a lot of money that way. However, one of my really, really close friends signed up for Webflow 3 years ago and has regretted his decision ever since. It's expensive. It's clunky for him to use. They are missing half of the features. He's had to spend 10x more I've had to spend on design and development because he chose a web platform that was modern and innovative, and he doesn't get nearly the value that I get out of WordPress. Well, WordPress still, everybody says it sucks. I don't think so. Like, I think it's a great tool. So those are some of the easy things that I would just say from the stack that will help you scale, is because you need to focus on what's going to drive revenue, right? And at the end of the day, if you can't use a tool, it's not going to scale you.
Yeah. Yeah. You said a mouthful, man. So many points, so many points I really want to hit, because having the right stack is an absolute requirement. If you're any product that you have, right? If you're going to go to the market at scale, you have to have the right stack. And I want to just kind of rewind a little bit. You talked about having not having technology that you can use and leverage. So one of the questions I'm on the record, one of the questions that drives me crazy is when I see somebody in a Facebook group or in a community in some capacity, hey, what's the best blank? And it's just like, who knows who you are, your capacity, your team's capacity to implement, maintain, execute. Like, it is the most lazy and irresponsible question that somebody can ask. But to your point, if you're not selecting software relative to your capability and your team's capability, it's practically impossible to walk away with the right tool. So when you've served so many companies with your agency on both sides, so you've seen a lot, like you said, from enterprise all the way down to solopreneur. What are some of the symptoms that you can pick up on immediately when you see, you know what, you either chose a tool that was too big for you, right? Or you just have the wrong tool in general. What are some of those common symptoms that you see across the board?
Yeah, I mean, you know, naturally, I mean, one of the hard things is when you buy these tools, many of them, even if you think about like Marketo, the average person is only going to use 20 to 30% of the tool, right? 70% of it goes wasted. And that's kind of a common thing that we see with these tools, that people aren't necessarily able to take the full advantage. And, you know, some tools you shouldn't, right? Like, we use Salesforce here. We're probably using 40% of the features of Salesforce, and 60% of it is like just there. So there's definitely things like that. But, you know, the common things that we see is obviously bad marketing through personalization, bad marketing automation is being done. And those are usually some of the key crux that you see people when they have these big suites or even best of breed stacks that they don't know how to use, is they're not able to effectively do personalization. Then they can't effectively do automation. They can't effectively pass data around through their stack. And that's a key fundamental difference now in the modern era of stack. If you can't have the free flow of data and have data recycling all the time through the stack, you're going to get crushed by some of your competitors, because it makes such a difference to have free flow of data. It powers everything else. So common symptoms are those, and also bad analytics, right? We see a ton of companies that have just atrocious metrics, and I mean, they'd be better off they lick their finger, put it in the air, and they're like, all right, we're doing good, guys. So those are the common ones that we see.
Man, and those three, if there were a nail to hit on the head, I feel like those are the three nails, right? Because terrible personalization, you could sniff out of nowhere, right? Like, it does not take an expert to say, hey, first name, you got personalization wrong, right? So many people get it wrong. And then just bad marketing automation, you're just sending me messaging at static timing, you know, it's not really catered to my experience. And then the data, but they all three work so well together, because if you've got a stack, right, if you have a stack with all of the tools that are tightly integrated, the data is synchronized. So something happens online, your CRM's aware about it. Maybe your external analytics database, it's aware of it. And then some project management tool, it's all in sync, and it becomes this orchestra of technology where things are flowing smoothly. But if you jump on a call with somebody and they have no idea of what just took place online, it's just like, how did you not get the information? Why are you asking me for all of that information, you know, all over again? So great, great symptoms. And I want to highlight those for anybody listening to run your checks and balances, because if you're experiencing those three, there's a good sign that you've got a stack that you need to revisit. You talked about analytics being recycled, or let me say data being recycled through the system. I haven't heard of it been used like that, but I definitely, the second you said it, I'm just like, that's exactly it. Like, it's just propagating. It's just over here. Now it's over here. Now it's over here. Talk to the audience. I think that big companies get this right. Everybody's out for the data. Look at Google, right? Look at Facebook. Everybody wants to own the data. Just talk to our listeners a bit about the importance of not just capturing it, but like you said, recycling it through so that you can get the maximum performance out of your marketing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, our company's mission at Magad.io is to help companies realize that their most valuable asset is their customer data. Like it is one of the most valuable things you're going to have. It gives you your measurement, it gives you your personalization, it gives you everything. So really, really important there. And this is a key topic in my book. I'll talk more about my book a little bit later. It's called Build Cool Shit, but it talks all about this concept and how to do it. Data recycling is really important. There's this old adage that you've got to have the one system of truth, the one tool where we have our system of truth. And, you know, I'm not a big believer in that other than like having that data in my data warehouse and using like a Tableau. And some companies try to like, oh, we're going to get all this data in one tool. And we're actually the exact opposite of that. We think that you should be constantly trying to recycle the data around your entire stack. If Salesforce gets updated, there's 26 other tools that need to get that same exact data point. If Marketo gets updated, there's 15 other tools that need to get that same thing updated. And what you want to be constantly trying to do is enable all of your teams with all of the data points that they can possibly get. So if a support ticket is submitted and there's a category on that and there's keywords in that, that should be flowed into Salesforce into a certain place. So when sales goes to talk to that lead, they can see customer has submitted 17 support tickets. Categories are these. These are the things that they've been reading on the support site. Okay, great. So we're up for renewal. These are the common problems that they're facing. We know they take advantage of these 9 features because we have our analytics flow in here. So sales is now equipped to do the deal compared to having to say, hey, support, what are their problems? Hey, CS, what's the problem? So by recycling the data and having a stack which is fully integrated together, you can really, really create these crazy outcomes. And, you know, for anybody who's not familiar with kind of data recycling and how to build a stack in that manner, I highly recommend checking out my book. We talk about it with RealThread. They're a really popular t-shirt printing company. Okay. And we had to cross the offline and the online and make it all back appear into Salesforce. But what it was able to do was extremely equip their salespeople to get on the first phone call and be like, hey, we noticed that you were struggling with uploading a logo into the website. You uploaded 7 versions of it, and then you selected 26 different colors. You know, I think a good opportunity would be to connect you with one of our designers, and they can help you find the right color t-shirt for the logo that you're uploading, and we can get that all set up for you. That customer service changes the game, right? The fact that they have that intel is so valuable and so important because now you're able to have a real conversation compared to, hey, you want to buy my t-shirt? Like, it's just by recycling that data and giving everybody that same intel, whether they're in support, sales, marketing, the executive suite, if you can recycle that to all of your tools, everybody's got the data they need.
Yeah. So in saying this, I can see your transition from techie to entrepreneur to CEO, right? And the reason why, Dad, here's the reason why. The central source of truth is like the goal for every developer, any tech oriented individual. They want all of the data in one place. It makes them sleep well at night. We've got a data warehouse that stores everything, right? That's how you start. And then you migrate into entrepreneurship and you realize, okay, I think I need to see things need to be a bit more free flowing. Marketing needs something, sales needs something, product needs something. We're going to have to start to use this data, not just in this data warehouse techie person, right? And then the CEO is just like, hey, look, this is the way it's going to go. I understand everybody in the marketplace is a single source of truth. No, the data needs to go everywhere. And this is the tool that we're going to use to do it. And I must say, You're the first person that has made that statement that I've talked to at least this year in 2021. But I would venture to say ever, man. And it wasn't until you made that statement that I realized I pass data everywhere. Like, it's free. Dan, it's free. The tools will do it for you is one of the benefits of digital marketing. So why not put those tools to use? Somebody submits a contact form, I send it to my project management space. I'll send the information, parse out what needs to go in my CRM, put that into the CRM. Like, I'm sending it everywhere, Airtable. I'm doing all kinds of things.
I love it.
Because it's like, and I didn't realize I wasn't relying on the single source of truth until you just said that, you know?
The stack has changed.
Yeah, it is. It really starts to highlight the importance of the stack, right? So I know you talked about getting that information and storing it, recycling it through your system. So everybody is equipped, right? To whatever the next step is, everybody's on the same page. And you said that, and what I had this vision of is everybody dreaming of their business operating like that. And then some people cringed and was like, oh, that's not us. Some people cried because yeah. they're like, that will never be me. So let's just talk through some basic considerations of when somebody is approaching a new tool for their business. What mm-hmm. is the approach that you like to take? Or do you have a set of questions that you like to ask them? Or, you know, what does that process look like for you?
Yeah, really, really good question. You know, and honestly, the first thing that comes to mind whenever I'm approaching a new tool is to say no as much as I possibly can. So because at the end of the day, the sales rep wants to sell you something and like, no, I don't need that feature, right? No, unless you really need it, right? But I think the thing that people kind of forget about is they have an idea. They're like, we need to get a new tool. And then they kind of go run and look for it. And they never really sit down and understand what are our objectives, right? What are the key results that we have as a business that we're going to accomplish with this tool? And what are the realistic things that we can do to hit our objectives and our key results by using this tool? Okay, great. What are the things that we can do? And coming to that meeting much, much more prepared, coming at this tool knowing, hey, we think that this tool is going to be able to help us because it does automation in this manner, so we can improve our customer contact rate. We'll be able to reduce the amount of time that we have to reach out to a customer by 20% or something like that, which is going to turn into revenue over here. Most people don't come to a tool with a goal. They come to a tool with a shiny object, yep. and then they let the sales rep tell them what it's going to do for them. And that's where you get problematic, is because like we all have case studies on our website, right? I have the best case studies on my website. I honestly, as a business owner, want to have on the front page, we failed on this project and we just want to be transparent how it happened, because I feel like that's a good way to build a relationship, right? We did really, really good. We did really, really bad. And we want you to see all of that and make the best decision for you. That's just my vision, right? That's how I work. Yeah. But when you go to a company, they're going to give you the 7 case studies or the best examples they've ever had. So you can't allow them to tell you what results you're going to generate. You need to go into that with realistic framing. And then after you have those, like, hey, we want to achieve these objectives, these results, these are realistic expectations we've set for ourselves. The biggest thing that we talk about with tools, right? The first question that we always talk about is going to be, of course, how are you going to help us accomplish these objectives? And then, of course, being extremely pessimistic about what they say. But the next big thing that we ask a lot about, what is your integration flow? What does your API look like? How do we get data out? How do we get data in? What's it going to look like when I have to fire you, right? And those are hard questions, right? But those are some of the best questions you need to have. And like on our website, I did a multi-touch attribution tool analysis. There's like 8 vendors on there that we did analysis of. We talk about all the multi-touch attribution tools. Just Google it, magal.io, multi-touch attribution, whatever. The thing that we realize when doing our assessment of multi-touch attribution, every one of the companies and vendors has a different data architecture. They have a different way they store their data. That became the most fundamental part on how we needed to choose the vendor, was how they store their data, how they visualize their data, and how we can report on it. So after you start talking to vendors, you need to understand their data set. Because at the end of the day, that's what's most important. There is outcomes, there is things, but how do you use that data, or how do you see the data? That's going to be some of your biggest questions. And then what does this integrate with? And how do I get my data elsewhere? So going back to that data recycling, how am I going to make sure that my whole stack can work together?
Man, I love it. I love it. Listeners, when's the last time one of the focal points of your conversation with the tool that you were looking at was, how do I get data out? How do I get data
out? That's huge.
And it is.
Go ask Dropbox, right? Go ask Dropbox. How do I get my data out? They'll be like, well, you know, I mean, they're the best lock-in company of all time, right?
Yep. This is true, man. And the thing about it is, you know, when you talk about going to showing up to a sales rep or going to a tool and just letting them tell you what you need, it's so irresponsible and it just sets you up for failure. And I always use the example of going to the grocery store. Like, you know what's in your kitchen. And you know what you need and you know what you want to cook. Now, if you just went to the grocery store and just like, hey, the first person there, can you just give me a list of food that I can make? Will they give there's a good chance that sales associate will be able to fill your basket with
no problem at all.
Good food too, Dan. It will be good food. But when you get it home,
and shrimp and
right. What can you do with the good food? It's not that the food is bad. It's that the context is wrong. The context is missing. Your business is the context. What do you need to do? How are you executing your business? What data do you need? And how is this going to enable you to get that data and store it. And then, like you said, when I fire you, what happens? Listen, man, these are all important conversations. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like dating and marriage, right? And a lot of times people get so deep into it, they're like, I should have asked these questions
early. Yeah, man. Totally. You should have asked these questions earlier on.
That's what this seems like. And that's the feel that I get when people just haphazardly jump, you know, into a software and they don't run their checks and balances, man. So thank you for sharing that. I want to give you the floor on two more items before you go, man.
Wait a second. I've got to make a TikTok video though. I've got to go into my local grocery store, go down to Publix and be like, hey, I don't know what to make for dinner. Help me pick it out. And just record the reaction, like, and then see what happens. And I'll send that to you. That'd be great.
Yes, it will be hilarious. You have to send me that one, man, if you do it. You have to. So you made two mentions, and I want to highlight them really quick on the podcast. Yeah. You mentioned UTM.io, and then you mentioned your book. UTM.io, just walk our audience through. We've talked about data and recycling, but talk about the analytics and what UTM.io allows you to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of us have Google Analytics or some analytics platform that helps us measure what's going on our websites and our campaigns. And the biggest problem that you have is that data needs to stay clean for you to effectively measure it. And one of the problems that you have is that UTM codes are the most common way to track links back to your website. So you post on social or an email or on a billboard, you have a link that you need to track when somebody comes back to your website. And that's what a UTM code is for. I'm not going to dig into the details of exactly what they are, but they're the most proliferous tracking thing on the internet, period. It's kind of boggling to how popular they are. But the problem is if you don't use the same UTM code on the same campaign and you have one Facebook with a capital F and one with a lowercase f, it kind of messes up your stuff. Yeah. And if you're a big company that's got seven different geos and five different departments in each geo, it makes it really real hard to keep them in order. Usually companies are using like a UTM spreadsheet and those are kind of clunky. So we created UTM.io to help with that campaign governance. So that way you can have thousands of people creating links on your behalf, but they're all using the same taxonomy. So it's got UTM building rules, it's got dynamic variables, UTM conventions. I mean, we have people from Unilever to Turtle Beach to Landry's restaurants to Shopify that have hundreds of users that use the product. And then our free product, which is available for everybody, I mean, it's going to kill your UTM spreadsheet, give you a ton of superpowers, and you don't have to pay for it. It's really, really powerful, unlimited users. So we wanted to make sure that the internet could clean up its game with campaign tracking. So we created the tool.
Thank you, man, for that. I'll add one additional layer to it, everybody. I also use UTMs to personalize text on web pages. So you can get so much. Yeah, right. You can get so much out of UTMs. Thank you for that resource, Dan. And don't worry, everybody. That link will be in the show notes. And then lastly, you mentioned your book. How does one get access to such a valuable gem? There it is.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to write. Actually going back to this data recycling thing, let's talk a little bit about that. One, the book talks about data recycling. How do you build a stack? How do you look at the tools? And it also gives you some tools you should probably go use. But I want to give your audience a cool way to actually get a copy of the book. So if you pull out your cell phone, right, I'm going to give you a number and have you text the word to it. You can get a free copy of the book. So if you type in the number 415-915-9011. I'll say that again, 415-915-9011. And just text the word MarTech, MARTECH to it. And it'll basically walk you through a bot that's going to collect your first name, your last name, your address, and all that stuff to get you a copy of the book. So definitely do that. You'll love the book. It's really short. It's got color pictures. You can draw on it if you want. I'll send you a pack of crayons. I don't care. But the cool thing is when you go through that texting bot, you have to understand there's a bunch of stuff that's going on in the background. As soon as you text that bot, your information is now being entered in our marketing automation system. It's now being entered in our CRM. As soon as I get your email, though, it's also being pinged to a third-party API to now tell us who you are and all the information the internet knows about you. And then that enriches your profile. Then once that happens, it starts sending it to our other tools to be able to say, hey, is this person a good lead? So the data recycling is really, really important. It will start sending alerts. So like, hey, if you work at like a $1 billion company, it's going to, of course, send alerts to sales and be like, hey, you should look at this email. Now, nobody's going to reach out to you. We're too busy to even have sales contact people. We have so much inbound deals, which is great. But it's all about creating that harmony. And in my book, I talk exactly about that type of process. And it's a super easy read. So I recommend people check it out.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. Say the number again that they need to text.
Yeah, 415. I can't do 9915. All you people in your car are like, what is this guy doing? 9011. So either way, that's the number for you as well. And if you're lazy and you don't want to use your tech, just go to the website. There's a banner at the top that says get Dan's free book. So,
okay, great. Well, thank you, man. Thank you for it. Thank you for coming on to the podcast and talking about the stack and recycling data, man. I really do hope that this becomes more of a norm, right? More of a norm in the marketplace, because businesses need it. They need your data stored in various places. It even removes the failure points, right? You shouldn't have a single point of failure in your business. And tools will do that. So make sure you have your data everywhere. Dan, thank you for the third time. Give us your website one more time, just in case somebody didn't catch it.
Yeah, and thanks so much for having me, and thanks for everybody listening to this. My website is mcgaw.io, so mcgaw.io. So it's like Tim McGraw, but no R. Go check out the website. We got a ton of great content that will help you push forward in this journey.
Yes, thank you so much. Again, everybody, as usual, links are in the show notes. Everything that you need will be there. Appreciate you coming on, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Dan and myself. And really, what I hope you got from this is just how much it goes into, just how many considerations and how important it is to understand these considerations when you're choosing the right tool for your stack, for your business. I cannot count how many times entrepreneurs on all levels, millionaires, many times over to beginning heirs who only have a few thousand, select the wrong technology. It really hinders your growth, and it serves as a hole in your bank account. So if you found today's episode valuable in any capacity, make sure you share it. Share it with that online business owner just to make sure that they have a second look at their MarTech stack and the considerations that went into selecting it. Maybe it was something as simple as somebody recommended the tool and they just went with it. Or they have shiny object syndrome, like Dan mentioned, and they just buy up everything. But outside of the tool, you also have to focus on the integration and how you're going to pass data to and from, right? These are the considerations. These are things that we have to be mindful of now when we're selecting our software. Okay. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, this is my official invitation for you to do so. And while you're doing it, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It would be greatly appreciated. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. Small businesses are in dire need of these marketers that have the ability to navigate technology, as we mentioned, assess the proper technology, but match it with your business strategy and deploy automated systems responsibly for rapid growth. So we've made it easy for you. At the top of the podcast, I mentioned it, but we've got one place for you to go and you get all of the resources, and that's allsystemsgopodcast.com. You'll get the latest episodes. You'll have access to our Amplify My Automation packages that are dedicated to putting automated marketing and sales systems in your business over the next 6 months. We have a free Facebook group. You can request to be a guest on the podcast or refer somebody. And any resource or training that's mentioned on the podcast, you can find it there. One URL to remember gets you access to it all the time. And that's allsystemsgopodcast.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode. And until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.